There are two ways to read it. One way is from 12 o'clock, the regular clock time, which begins from the heart of the gallbladder into the liver. And the other way is from 3 a.m., the lungs. Two schools of thought exist pertaining to that. But if you don't breathe, the liver and the gallbladder is useless. So in the end, it's like when you say, which came first, the chicken or the egg, or the egg or the chicken? We see what takes priority over the biological functions of the body as a mechanism is the breath. So as far as the input of food is concerned for your health reaction, it's best to read it first from 3 a.m. instead of reading it from midnight, where you'll find other schools of thought and research have tried to label that pattern from 12 to 12, 12 hours on, 12 hours off, as a circadian rhythm pattern. But a circadian rhythm pattern cannot override a priority pattern that you breathe to live. So this is the only difference. Whenever you may run into it, and they may say, well, why did I never say it to you? It's because of years of research I've found. Like the guy says, you may be an asshole, but I breathe before you.
That's the first thing you give and take the drug.
You gotta breathe. You see? So it doesn't matter if the guy, the owner of the business, something there takes preference in the whole thing. So as far as your body is concerned, the lungs take the priority jump as to the wind over the other parts of the anatomy. Good. So from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., the biblical writers always paid reverence to it, or reference to it. In Jesus' time, he said, render to Caesar what is Caesar, and render to God what is God. Well, we know what belongs to Caesar is income tax. But what belongs to God, nobody ever could find out. Till one day I found it and I fell off a building. But what belongs to him is income breath. Already a plug. I'm gonna log on to your car. I didn't pay the cosmic electrical bill. So that's what the income breath is, if they back to what God is. So the lungs did validate, and then it did show me when the cord is cut, the respiratory rebirthing and all these techniques are emerging now as to make you fully realize what takes preference in your mechanism, your lungs, when. Now in the Eastern tradition again, in the morning they get up and meditate. In the churches they pray. And in the martial art they do all their exercises around that time, indicating they're trying to exercise the lungs to gain conscious resonance with it to the focal point of the oxygen. Good. We breathe through the right nostril and we breathe out through the left nostril, and you'll see each organ has a 2-hour shift. 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. in the lungs. And you can always tell in which organ you're in and which side of the organ you're in, if you're in the ascending function or the descending function of the organ, by blowing the air out through your nostril, and you'll see one of the nostrils is stronger than the other.
Which is which?
Well, right.
No, I mean, can you tell from the left or the right side? Which is
one side is stronger than the other. Just blow it out. You'll feel one side is stronger than the other.
But it switches.
Which
side? It switches every hour.
Mine's on the right.
It's supposed to be on.
It's supposed to be on the right now.
Mine is a mirror.
Now, if you're hyper, meaning if you're going fast, you're going to be 10 minutes ahead of each hour. If you're hypo, meaning going too slow, you're going to be 10 minutes behind each hour. If you're on time, switching on time every hour, from ascending to descending, ascending to descending, you are normal.
What if you're on the left side right now? What if you're on the left side right now? You said you should be on the right side.
Then you're too fast.
Yeah. Oh, okay. right side.
Body's too fast. Okay. To correct the fast beating, and you always check it, because you can always go from your hour. And daylight saving time has not a doggone thing to do with your health.
Still body, huh?
Biological time is standard time all over the world for everybody. Daylight saving time is pocketbook time. How to make a faster dollar. It has nothing to do with your health. Health has to do with standard time in reference to the, or reference to how we rotate. So, you're, as far as we're concerned, we're always going to be 1 hour behind daylight saving time as a biological time. So, when you check from 3 in the morning, from 5 in the morning, and then you see if you're too fast or too slow, you're going to be like that all through the day. It's never going to shift until you correct it yourself. Now, if you don't correct it, eventually what will build up is you'll become hyper or hypo, depending upon that hydraulic action. And you know that way you want to take a water from a hose and shoot it on the roof. You ever try shooting water from a hose to the roof? Just open the tap and hold it, let it go up the roof. Until you do what? You gotta squeeze it, right? That's exactly what is gonna happen here. After a while, you're gonna reach so over dilated that you feel totally fogged out. You lose all sense of energy and you start feeling sleepy. You don't know why. Because it's not synchronizing back. But it'll show up. To help you to help yourself so that you don't panic, by knowing how to blow across from the nostril up to the skin, check if you're too fast or too slow. Too fast is 10 minutes before the time to when you were supposed to be in either one of the nostrils. So if you're supposed to be in your right nostril, and at 4 o'clock you go to the left nostril, 10 minutes to 4 and you're in the left nostril, you're too fast. 10 minutes after 4 and you're still in the right nostril, you haven't come over to the left, too slow. But at 4 o'clock is when you're supposed to switch over from right to left, you're on time. So you look at the clock and you'll notice the odd number is the right nostril and the even number is the left nostril. You see, you can't go wrong. From 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, you're supposed to be in your right nostril. That's the ascending function of your organ. And from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, you should be in the left nostril. And that's the descending function of the organ. Then again, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, that's an odd number, you're going back into the right side. And from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, which is an even number, you're going into the left side. So from 5 to 7, you're in your large intestine in the morning. That's 5 a.m. From 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., you should be in your lungs. That clear so far?
Wait, repeat again.
From 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., you should be in the lungs.
No, before that. 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock is ascending. You should be in the
right nostril. And from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, you should be in the left nostril. That's a descending function.
5 to 6, right. 6 to 7. Okay.
Left. In the event in the future that you hear they say the body can have a 90-minute exhaustion level, it can work, and after every 90 minutes it starts to feel tired, that extra 30 minutes is set up as a compensatory function for your organs. So if you add 30 minutes times 24 around the clock, you know your body is doing a compensatory pattern in your body. But you can't understand that until you've been exposed to exhaustion techniques. And so for people who work in time phasing and equipment and long exhaustion, they let them relax after 30 minutes. So they put them through like 90 minutes, stop, then relax. Work again, stop, relax. These are all conditions that are being researched now. So you may hear of it or refer to it. Don't panic. Most important thing is that you stay within the 60 cycles, 60 minutes of each side, and you get a better action in your body. Now you have 30 minutes in reserve with a spare time. In case of emergency that you want to work that overtime for that extra buck, you're not going to panic yourself by saying, could you just hang around and work a little overtime? See? But sometimes you can't, so you may feel. So don't get stressed out. This is the body composite one.
And you were saying each morning sets up its own cycle, and you have to attune yourself to that cycle. And how do you compensate?
If it's too fast, you place the right fist under the left armpit, and it acts like a brake. Slow it down. If you're too slow, take the right fist, the left fist, and put it under the right armpit to bring it up like an accelerator.
At the time that you're
checking it.
Checking it. For how long?
Till it maybe shifts over.
So it compensates.
It compensates itself. So this is what you're doing. If you're too fast, that means you're gone 10 minutes before 4 o'clock into the right, left side, from the right to the left, that's when it's too fast, 10 minutes before. You take the right fist, put it under the left armpit to slow it down. And you hold it there for a little while and squeeze, and then check again. But if you notice it's going, until then you check, and when it comes even, you got it. It doesn't take long because it will adjust itself. It's like a brake in a car. And if you're too slow, take the right armpit and place the left fist on it. See? That's too slow. This is to accelerate it, to bring it back up. One is to slow it down, one is to speed it up. You have an ascending side and a descending side of your body. Now, I didn't make it. The guy that came and lived with us and called himself Brother Jesus, they say he descended down into hell. I didn't find a hell, but I sure found some place in my body where he could descend into a height. And then he ascended back on the third day. And they say he sat on the right hand of the Father. I said, well, he didn't go sit in his lap.
But doctor, are you saying that we have to do this check it somewhere from 3 to 5 in the morning?
You don't have to check it. You can do it any time if it's off. But that's where you normally begin to check it. So if you can check it right.
That's when the cycle begins.
Right, when the cycle begins.
We can correct it.
You can correct it easier then. Because if it's going off, you can work it and pull it back. Because
what are
that's
the symptoms of being off?
Well, that's what we're coming from now. When you're off by being too fast, your blood pressure is going to go fast.
Blood pressure?
Yeah. If it's slow,
you have low blood pressure.
Just like you're squeezing the hose to run the water. So, the doctor doesn't measure your breath. What does he measure? The pressure of the blood moving. But how can a liquid move if there's no air? And the body doesn't breathe through the lungs while in the womb. We all know that, in fact. You cut the cord, and then you tie the cord, and if the air doesn't go through the nostrils, it'll dilate and force the liquids to move on time so that the lungs can contract and dilate on time to maintain that rhythm. What do we say to the person?
You're expired.
Amen.
Expired.
Amen. So you're looking at the facts about how this... Now, the lungs then takes priority in regulating the pressure. And then we notice the next organ that becomes essential to that pressure after the lungs, from 5 to 7 a.m. in the morning, is the large intestine. You notice it's very peculiar. Here is where the first milk comes in, the baby, after the cord is cut. It goes through the colon all the way down. It comes out here as waste matter. And every mother knows, it blows her mind, that when she feeds her baby the first time white milk from the breast, and she cleans up diaper, it's black a star. And how in the hell white milk can turn black a star? Where is that waste substance stored up? The baby didn't eat anything more than being connected to the umbilical cord, pumping it. Yet, this particular phenomenon is there. The second milk the diaper is brown. The third milk the diaper is yellow. And from then on the diaper is yellow till it puts something solid in the milk. You got this function going in your body, like it or not. The large intestine takes priority, and so when it's clogged up from a solid content, it's in the two areas, in the ascending side and the descending side, we got the problem. Because if it doesn't move out from the ascending side to go down to the descending side to be eliminated, you no longer have it.
Exactly.
Right. So, large intestine, when you wake up in the morning, from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., if you are healthy, there's only one direction you're heading to. It's called the toilet bowl. Right. I'm coming home, but that's where you, if you're healthy, you're going to head there. Because that's the natural law of the respiratory function of the lung to push their waste out, to go out and empty. Now, many of us may not go to the bathroom at that time, and may go eat something, and then we'll have a bowel movement later. That's not ideal. It works. You can say you have the bowel movement, but it's not ideal, because you're forcing a pressure ratio to move the mass. The real principle is the air setting the pressure to move the mass originally, like when the cord is cut. And so if you have your bowel movement before you eat your breakfast, you are ahead of the game. But if you have the bowel movement after you eat the breakfast, watch out. Try and correct it. You don't want to be a victim of it, because you'll get sick in time and let you down. So don't fool yourself and say your bowel movement after you eat is really valid. No. A bowel movement before you eat is valid, because the pressurization of the lungs is enormous. So the Eastern man got up, did his meditation, did his yoga postures, did his Tai Chi. Priests walk around, and another reason we used to be a priest, we had to walk around and do a rosary. Only to find out we were trying to head to the bathroom. These are all techniques that come down through the centuries, and thank God we now realize what the heck it is. We're trying to get to the bowel movement to clean up our mouths. What's good? If you can head to that bathroom before 7 o'clock, you're doing fine. Your body is working for you, not against you. Now, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., your stomach should be having food to break the fast. That's where your hydrochloric acid comes in. You want to eat your breakfast. Now, remember you have to have protein, right? And there's only one kind of protein you want. Protein plus nitrogen, not protein minus nitrogen. So you can't put in a meat protein expecting to get nitrogen when you have to cook the meat unless it's raw. Now, if you put in the almonds that comes from the tree, is pure fiber, when you germinate it by soaking it in the water, you're triggering the nitrogen, and you're getting all the enzyme action to work for the first time, you are ahead of the game. But I'll tell you something else. The name almond is very significant of the food. There is no food So imagine, man means world, it's a Persian word. Al means all. It's the Persian word for all the basic 12 minerals. That's how they got the word, Al-Man. All 12 basic minerals, not the gases, are present in that one food. You're not going to find another food containing all 12 basic minerals. You may find 8, 9, 11, 10 plus trace minerals. Almond has all 12 plus their trace minerals, plus their vitamins. So that's why it was always referred to as the number one food, as a protein and as a hydrochloric stabilizer. Meaning, you need hydrochloric acid to do the job. If the hydrochloric acid isn't functioning in you, you got a problem. You got to get hydrochloric input. So you have stuff here, good. But once you get back cleaning up, that's an extra bonus to have a little hydrochloric acid going in there. But stomach, between 7 and 9 o'clock, you should have your breakfast.
Almonds and
fruits
good enough for
breakfast? Yes.
That's all
you can eat?
I mean,
you can eat all the things
no,
that
grow
in a tree.
That's enough if you don't want to eat anymore. If you don't
want to eat
touch.
Anymore, right?
How about just the nuts? That's just the
nuts. Well, I'll tell you this. I eat the almonds, the prunes. I eat some of the Victoria nuts along the other because they grow high in the tree. They're not to compete with it. And I eat the pine nuts. And I eat the black walnuts, so I'm ensuring and guaranteeing my bowel movement all the time. Black
olives. Do you get the oils?
Black olives.
Do you add oils?
If I do add oil, it's 1 teaspoon of olive oil or any of the other nut oil to lubricate. But because they're already oil, you don't need that to really do it.
Say we get proteins and nitrogen. Can you get nitrogen from chlorophyll?
Yes.
Chlorophyll. Any raw foods or meats like food? Any raw foods or meat does good?
Look at it this way. Nitrogen is a gas that is formed by light hitting water in darkness, creating photosynthesis, and it sets up vegetation to appear as algae. So if there was no nitrogen in the air, the photosynthesis reaction on water with crystals, algae would not form. So fundamentally, an algae is formed from that reaction. You're looking at an intrinsic manifestation of photon, from photon into an edible process. And therefore, you have protein with nitrogen as an end result, as an algae. The most unique, and you got it to sell right here, you know, by the green life, right? That's really nitrogenous input. And every doctor knows that if you don't get the protein with the nitrogen, you're going to have a problem with cancer. And I had a buddy who discovered the process. He was persecuted like crazy in Texas. He had to run away to hide himself. He was a doctor who discovered it. Till now today, they're looking to give him all kind of credit.
But they came
on. Donald. Hydrogen peroxide system that a lot of the holistic doctors are describing now. What is your theory?
Well,
I really don't understand.
Remember what they're prescribing it for? Hydrogen.
Yeah, for hydrogen.
No. You can't have life without hydrogen. And the basic of all oxygen is a combination of hydrogen to be manifesting as water. Good. You are 80% solid and 20% water, or reversed?
Reversed.
Good. Since you're 80% water, And what is a component of hydrogen and oxygen? Hydrogen peroxide is what? A bioaquatic what? Sterilizer. Which is a normal input cleanser, orally, rectally, or anywhere. But we fear it because of the name. But we don't know the quantum, where to put it in, how to put it.
It seemed as though it stirred up digestive problems. Because it was sterilizing?
Yes, right.
And it scared me to death,
so
I'm taking it just
to... Well, that's where we panic, where we don't understand what we're doing.
Because we didn't understand.
Well, not the panic about.
So you're saying it's very, very
if we put one teaspoon in a gallon of water...
Yeah, well,
this is how come... Let me put it another way. When they discovered the apple cider vinegar formula, it took the doctor Jarvis 9 years of research to come up with the exact measurement of what is ideal for the body. He experimented with apple cider vinegar for years and years, but never had the right measurement. The right measurement is 2 teaspoons of the apple cider vinegar, 2 teaspoons of honey, and 8 ounces of distilled water. Now you go mix the wrong combination, you end up with a lot of problems, because he did. Until you found the right measurement. It's the same way with hydrogen peroxide. There is a specific measurement that is ideal for your body, taking it orally or rectally, or washing on the other side.
Well, now they have an increasing amount, I guess, for the body to be able to handle.
Yeah. So it's 1 teaspoon to every gallon.
It's 1 teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide to every gallon.
So if you're using a gallon intake of water, over so many days, you have that much.
That's a good internal antiseptic.
So don't go beyond that.
Or you can drink stock.
The next organ is from 9 to 11. That's the spleen. And usually that's the time you get your sugar blues, right? Ever hear that sugar blues when you punch the clock? Sugar blues from 9 to 11 in the morning.
That's why everybody in your office was
always want coffee break.
What about the small?
I get sleepy.
Good, okay. I'll tell you why. Big Daddy in the sky is not punching the clock, he's punching customers. But as long as we are punching the clock, we're going to get the blues. So we always hoping to have the great American dream to do a punch customers, right? And so the spleen is the triggering agent in our biological makeup towards our psychological or psychological expression. So when you find you get sleepy or calmed out or over hyper, it's because that part of the anatomy is out of sync. You can trace it back to the breathing, trace it back to the movement of the sugar, and sooner or later, it's the conflict between punching the clock or punching the customer. The desire to be you. It's valid. You need it because why? When you look at your formation, I said you're two structures of a sperm and an ovum, right? You're a combination of 2 things, not a one. You're not 2 sperms or 2 ovums, you're 1 sperm, 1 ovum. And so that takes priority in your whole mechanics. You may not like it, but you're stuck with it. Well, you got another thing to consider. That spleen is going to drop down under stress. So you feel you need some kind of a sugar or some kind of a stimulant to activate you. Over the years, we have found, including myself, a lot of people with hormone problems, could never stabilize until we took the very things that could make people freak out. That's caffeine. A little is medicine, too much no good. A lot at all, no good either. So we took coffee, and especially Folgers, because it comes from Brazil where they grow on a tree, and the cocoa bean that grows on a tree, and the maple syrup that comes from a tree, and combine the tree to stabilize. Ethnic green blood, stabilize the hormone balance.
Yeah.
isn't pancreas and the spleen considered the same organ or
you have the spleen and your pancreas that are to react to. One is a firing agent, it's like a flipping switch. But it's the same organ here. One is the other.
Is it actually controls speech? The spleen is associated with speech. You judge a person by the depth and the strongness of his voice.
Okay. Now from 11 to 1 is the heart. Have you ever see somebody around 12:30 come back to the office and keel over and eating a good lunch?
Yeah.
And then your dad. Now if you were to check out what they ate for lunch, you'll see how they mix up a lot of crazy combinations. That's not for the heart. So one time I was flying back from Boston to Houston, and I was on the plane. And all of a sudden, on the intercom, came a request from the hostess: "Is there a doctor on board? Is there a doctor on board? Please, help!" I looked up. Nobody got up. Second time again, rang, "Please help! Is there a doctor on board?" And I got up and said, "I'm a physical therapist. I can help you." He said, "This man just peeled over." I said to him, "Did you eat the lunch you served?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Where are you going now?" He said, "I'm going to Houston, Texas for heart surgery at Dr. DeBakey."
Oh, wow.
And my good friend, partner, Christina, was a nurse. I said, "Okay, don't panic." He said, "So the hostess says, do we have to stop? Do you have any heart medicine?" He said, "In my compartment in my baggage on board." I said, "Well, judging from what the man needs, I think we can make it together." So the woman that sat next to me said, "Please use that." I said, "Okay, you take my seat and I'll sit with the man." And then I check him out. High pressure, low pressure. And I know what was happening. His pressure dropped off from the food he served it. So the heart went. And so I sat down with him and talked with him and worked on his meridians. And flew all the way to Houston. And by that time, I told the hostess to call ahead so they could get an ambulance to pick him up and take him off to the hospital. So the ambulance was waiting for him, and but he'd already got normal by the time the plane arrived because he was releasing all the distress from him. And the real problem is not the heart. The real problem is in the traumas of his one person lifestyle that created the problem. But there we see what they serve for that lunch would give you a heart attack. Watermelon, cantaloupe, served steaks, and cheese, and potato, and a slice of bread, and salad. That was the lunch they served. So I knew. What would happen to somebody even that having a heart problem?
This felt like it would create a heart problem.
From 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock is the small intestine. That's when your ulcers start to bug you.
What about the little circle?
That's the opposite of the clock.
We've seen that.
Well, maybe we're dealing with what is called a pressure release. See, that comes into therapy where you go take an exam and poking each other. It's called massage therapy. Massage therapists don't know how to use that yet.
Are you saying all these organs, that many times a day, that are in their cycle, will tend to at those times if that is your problem?
Yeah.
And in the small circle is the one that is not going to be affected in that circle.
And that's the one that's called an oncology problem.
Well, the one from the small circle is the one that's causing the problem, the one in the large circle.
Now, I'm going to pull it. This side gets tight, too. Where I'm pulling? You see where the tightness is? Way over there, not over here. That's what we're talking about. When you have a problem at the time of the day, you blame the organ, you try to treat the symptom instead of the cause. And so, you forget. When I went to the man, and I knew left his heart. It was in hard time. I did try to treat him hard.
Went to the dome?
Yeah, I went to his head. Pressed on his ears.
And the spot that would affect the dome.
Right. And that released the pressure. He started burping.
Yeah, he
does both. First one. Well, successful therapist. This is valid. Successful therapist is he who can make you fart by the process in the shortest possible time. You will live without any reaction. If he can't, get you the burp. But if he can't get you the burp, get you the yawn. That releases the stress off the organ immediately. But if you can get it to react very fast, then you will succeed. The final thing is you can get up and go to the bathroom and have a urination. So you get the terror out of his piss. And then you're a good therapist. So you're a good profession, knowing how to get the terror to the person. So the small intestines is next, from 1 to 3. And you find anytime you've got that kind of pain, and there is ulcers. In one, between 1 and 3 in the afternoon. So you can stop the ulcer by giving the person cabbage juice with cayenne pepper.
It'll cure it.
No, cabbage juice and cayenne pepper. No old fashioned jus de chou. Cayenne.
What about just cayenne?
Vitamin U is in the cabbage to correct ulcers. Sounds crazy, but that's where it's at. This is where you're going to find vitamin U in the cabbage. So you have to give them at least 4 ounces of cabbage juice, so a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper.
That's raw cabbage juice,
yes.
not the juice from boiled cabbage.
No, raw.
Definitely.
Pure nitrogen
yes.
juice.
There again, no heat, and you release the
nitrogen.
No, cayenne pepper that you'll find on the
capsicum.
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 That's the name.
Capsicum.
It cauterizes with aioli.
What about during outbreak, something like you put the liquid extract under the tongue in case somebody has a heart attack? What do you relax it?
It'll do. That's the homeopathic process. It'll work. Remember one thing. The benefit of those who are therapists. All methods work. So don't panic if you're a therapist. But all methods work. Acupuncture work. Reflex work. Homeopathic work. All I'm talking about is a time reaction to when you're involved in what to do at the moment. So, off of the plane, he didn't have time to stop the plane to go look for his medicine. He got to know something else other than to compensate. Now, in your profession as a chiropractor, you would press a certain way and release the pressure off the bone, which is the vertebra around the upper part of it, by the heart, and you would work right away. So that's okay. Each method works. But in an airplane, it's going to be difficult to do an adjustment. So these are the things that comes up under the set of circumstances you have to work. So you have to know a little more than a certain set of knowledge. We're dealing today not with specific therapy. We're dealing with a holistic relationship with human being under all circumstances. And therefore, the time will come when we can stop throwing rocks at each other and look at what is involved. Do we live to live or live to die? If we live to live, we're all going to cooperate. If we live to die, then everyone will put his own bone.
So you could have worked his foot.
Yeah, but that would be
as well as
right here. You see, but then,
this is more convenient.
Right, convenient. I couldn't go take his shoes out because it would be very impractical at the moment when the man is gasping. So many other things are necessary. Auricular therapy is there, the ears. You can do a optical because it's already there. Every part of your anatomy has a reflex, nose, tongue, anything. I could tell him to bite his tongue at a certain angle, but you look at me kind of funny. What the heck is that? But it will stop the situation too. See, a lot of things are available to us. Now, from 3 o'clock to 5 p.m. in the afternoon, it's your bladder. And usually, who complains of bladder problems? Little children that went to bed at night, or grown-ups who don't go to the bathroom regularly?
Both.
So you know they got bladder problems. So you treat them around 3 o'clock to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. And so that nice big, round fruit, what you call?
Watermelon.
Good. It has all
great
the
diuretic.
Good. It has everything to make your flush out, right? See, Mother Nature how smart she is? But at the time of the day, it's important because you're putting it in where it grows to correct the problem that will show up with a pain sensation in it. Children who wet the bed at night usually complain of the pain in the afternoon and they're back with it. Parents don't know that. They think they're trying to get what we call the attention getting syndrome. But actually, the pain usually shows up in the back.
What about all the people that can't control their bladder?
And they get the pain right at the same time. So we go in there, give them our watermelon juice or KD11, that's kidney bladder herbs, and we put the pressure on. Or you can do any adjustment. There are many different techniques to release the pressure from that. So no one technique is, many techniques are available to fight.
And you can get to the bladder via the lung, via reflexology.
And you got from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, kidney. You know, every time they perform a heart transplant, the patient never died from the heart transplant. He died from what?
Kidney.
Good.
Yeah.
Now you know why your kidney is important to you. Because he kid himself too much, why he ain't got no heart. Sounds funny, huh? A lot of us live that life, and they end up having another transplant.
I do the opposite. It's my job, and they have my blood pressure. I go to the kidney.
Okay, good. That's fine. But your kidney is essential to know between 5 and 7. Especially if you got kidney stones, you got to clean them up. Now, 7 to 9 is your circulation, pericardium time, sex. And so, boyfriend and girlfriend meeting for the first time, you go for moonlight, sunlight, or starlight, candlelight dinner. And then they talk all kind of extreme ideas, what they can do, what I can do. And then between 9 to 11, the argument begins. It's the thyroid time. You find the biggest arguments, the biggest frustration between the married couple is between 9 and 11.
Triple heater?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 3 from 7.
That's also known as the thyroid. Triple heater is the old terminology, today we call it thyroid. And from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., the gallbladder. So anytime you fall over off your bed or wherever you are at 12 o'clock at night, feeling a pain in your right side, you got a gallbladder attack. Make sure that the guys who come to work on you don't give you oxygen right away, otherwise you're a DOA. The quickest way to save yourself, if you ever get it, is to take a paper bag, put it over your head, or put your hand over your nose, lock the ear, so that you inhale back a portion of your carbon dioxide, and then let go. And then it's a reverse action. Automatically, you start breathing again. But if you put air right here, you'll kill yourself. That's the one problem with the methods today. In the middle of the day, when you fall down, you need oxygen. At night, if you put oxygen in a heart attack, they think it's a heart attack. Of course, usually you die DOA, called dead on arrival. It's a reverse action, because it's happening in the gallbladder condition. So, if you get a pain here, don't do like that. Rick.
So at night, in your room.
Yeah, right, you can do
it. Part of the oxygen.
At night.
In the daytime, you want to. If it happens to you in the daytime, you pull up the nose, and don't be afraid. Then you can breathe. Get it? Nighttime, don't do that to get the air because it's like a suction pump. You ever try clean using when it's black or black? Well, that's basic biological hydraulics. But we don't know that till we go through the misery of losing our loved ones. Then we see where we go. Biologically, is to filter the black pepper that you eat in your food that has been crushed up, that is supposed to be crushed up, that gets in there and form small stones. Now, black pepper is good to eat. If you've got the whole peppercorn and put it in the soup or liquid and let the substance of the peppercorn come off the peppercorn into the food and throw the peppercorn away, you'll get very, very good zinc. But if you don't and you grind it up, you've got a problem because it gets in the mouth, it ain't going to dissolve no way out on the way down. Because it gets trapped in the gallbladder, and the gallbladder is like an oyster. And if you want to cultivate pearls in an oyster, all you got to do is open the mouth of the oyster, put a little grit, close it back, 38 days, open it again, take out the pearl. Otherwise, the oyster itself is aggravated with a grit in its mouth, wherever it is by mistake, doing that under the water, the grit gets in there, and it has to build a knuckle around the grit to insulate it from erosion or corrosion or irritation. And then it forms a pearl. That's the function. So your gallbladder is a pseudo oyster in your body. Little stones like that.
You need black pepper on the line.
On the inside.
For the bile, it's calcified. Not only pepper. That's why it's not the sole agent.
So you got a lot of it piling up.
Yeah, it's not just pepper.
But there it's where it begins.
But there are people with a whole lot of problems who never have don't eat so much pepper.
That's so much. It's the fact that you put in one brand new, it will get into the gallbladder and it will form a stone. Then from then on, everything that will lock and pile up. Otherwise, it won't accumulate in the area. See, that's the problem.
It might mean that we shouldn't have any pepper.
That's right. But it also should mean that the packaging the pepper to sell it to the public is not the correct procedure of grinding it up. Because that black peppercorn is an ideal food for trace minerals called zinc. And you need zinc. But when you package it by grinding it into powder, and not knowing what it will do, years ago, today we're finding out what it did. It was too late. In the Oriental countries where it came from, peppercorn was from, they didn't know to grind it up. All they did was to take the peppercorn off the bush, put it in a little muslin cloth. You ever seen muslin cloth? It looked like a very thin thread woven into a piece of cloth, it was almost transparent, but very strong. Throw the peppercorns, it looked like little clove heads, clove. Tie it, put, drop it in the pot, and let it cook.
Exactly.
So all the zinc was extracted out of it, then they threw it out. But when the British soldiers saw it, and the time when they were trying to trade, they saw all these things. We're going to transport a pile of peppercorn to, we like to package things. So what do? They crush it up, package it, and they put it in your table now where you go in the restaurant. Pepper and salt, roll it. And I know, you walk in any restaurant, you're going to see the little child to the adult dumping. But then, in years to come, you got the problem. Now, if I didn't have the problem, I'd be also telling you something different. But I had the problem.
Is there any good, comfortable way to cleanse the gallbladder? Because that flush is just unbearable. Is there any other way? That's what I'm asking. Is there an alternative through eating?
to a to dietary?
Not dietary. There are alternate methods by sonar equipment. But I don't know of a cleansing method less and dietary being a good job.
Gallbladder flush is the best way.
It's a long process, and there's a short process. The short process is the one that you might have got from my friend Vivian. The long process is when you add grapefruit juice to the oil and diminish the oil, and just use a lesser quantity of the grapefruit juice. And
you're cutting the grapefruit out,
and cutting more oil and increasing grapefruit juice.
Oh, okay, the other way.
And that's a slower process.
It sounds like it's more effective.
Well,
would you say one is more effective than the other?
One is not more effective than the other. It takes longer.
The grapefruit oil takes longer, and the other flush is just quicker.
Now, there is only one other alternative right now they're working on. It's a sonar equipment that goes over the area and smashes the concentration of the stones to let them break loose. And what the pumping out process is what they're yet to evolve. The equipment to take it out, pump it out, and slush it out. And that's left. So, even though they may break up the concentration,
there's still no way to pass.
You still got to come down. Out. And so they're only on this extraction. But they're working on that.
The colonics there?
No, colonics do not pull that down. That's not
part of the colonics. Just forget it.
There's no way to get out.
I wouldn't want to pull you there because I know it's not there. And I have all that problem.
I
haven't had any, but I'm talking about preventive maintenance. I'm trying to end this off.
Preventative maintenance.
But I mean, for what I've already done.
The slow percentage of the oil and the juice, if you take it,
well, I drink a lot of grapefruit juice. In fact, that's one of the
olive oil.
But you have to put the olive oil in it. Well, that's not too intelligent. I just thought that there might be some more effective, very quick method.
Well, do you know what the flush is?
You mix the grapefruit.
You ever heard the flush?
The flush
is 4 ounces of olive oil, 4 ounces of apple juice before you go to bed at night. Start up very good. You want to use a blender, fine. Most people get mental notions of the thing before you put in them out.
Wait, that's before retiring
a bit. 4 ounces of olive oil and 4 ounces of apple juice. When you wake up, you repeat the process, like 4 ounces of oil, 4 ounces of juice. Then, every hour on the hour till midday, 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of distilled water. You're not using any food. This is already your food going in. Every hour on the hour till midday.
4 ounces of apple juice.
4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of distilled water. At midday, you take 4 ounces of corn oil with 4 ounces of tomato juice. You blend it up very good because it just happens to be a thick tasting juice, that's all.
It's delicious.
Corn oil and what?
Corn oil and tomato juice.
4 ounces of each.
4 ounces. Then every hour on the hour, until you're ready to go to bed, you take 4 ounces of apple juice with 4 ounces of distilled water.
So only one time during the middle of the day, at midday, do you take the corn oil and the tomato juice?
That's right. Nighttime,
and then
you're
back to the
apple juice and olive oil before you go to bed. That's the whole session for one day.
Apple juice and olive oil.
4 ounces each.
How long you got to repeat?
But during the afternoon, 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of still stuff.
Now you repeat this a minimum of 3 days, and you'll see it pass before 3 days. Some people pass it at 24 hours. You're passing all stones.
Yeah.
And you'll either see it at 24 hours, 48 hours, or 72 hours. It passes. The maximum intake of some people that I've worked with, some people that I have worked with, you have to go a full 7 days before they pass it. When they pass it, they pass it.
Is white pepper any better, or is it just the same as the black pepper?
It's true. We have had people that have come in, their doctors have said that they still have pain, they're going to take out their gallbladders, and they have done the flush.
It works.
Yeah.
It makes you very
they go
stable.
Back to the doctor and they do not have to have their gallbladder.
If I didn't go through it, I wouldn't tell you. I had the hard way to learn.
Let me get this right. You said something at the beginning. You said it was a slower process, but just the grapefruit juice and the olive oil wouldn't work over a longer period of time.
Double the time up. It's going to take longer for you to flush it out.
But if you use, say, for instance, if for a week I just drank grapefruit juice and olive oil, I would see
a different.
But it's slower. It's much slower. If you alternate, say if you did that, if you just drank grapefruit juice and olive oil, say you did a fast like that for a day and then went back to the regular diet, so that doesn't
work. The oil is less, the juice is more, but it'll take a longer time. You're cutting back on the oil and you're upping the juice, but it'll take you a longer time. And last but not least now, from 1 p.m. to 3 a.m. is the liver. Hepatitis is in the liver. Jaundice is in the liver. Cirrhosis is in the liver. And today, they shut down every nightclub at 2 o'clock because they found out that the brain cannot handle alcohol between 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning, but will handle alcohol from 3 o'clock right up to 1 o'clock next day. But from 3 to 3, it will shut down.
What? Brain?
Brain will automatically go into sleep. So if you're taking alcohol, you'll find your attempt to black out. And that's how come alcoholics are in trouble themselves. Because the brain switches down from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. Then again, it'll pick up again. That's why alcoholics seem to black out in that period.
Uh-huh.
They become irresponsible.
The late part of their drinking phase.
Because that's what happens to their body. So when Paul was saying centuries ago, take a little for your stomach's sake, he was not saying take it for the brain's sake. So a little alcohol is all right for your stomach. Too much no good. And none no good. Your body manufactures alcohol like it or not. It's called the spinal process, the spinal fluid is alcohol, it's biological antifreeze.
Yeah, you see some people, they take a test, they haven't been drinking at all, they took an alcohol test and they still positive.
Yeah, because they don't realize that their body manufactures
it. Have you ever considered alcohol?
Yeah. Your current function, you look at a car. Will that car run on the road without antifreeze?
Yeah, it runs down and
you know, hot climate.
You're saying that if you do not drink, if you don't consume any alcohol, the body produces it anyway. Are you saying that in that process, the body has to work a little harder, and therefore it's taxing something important in having to manufacture the alcohol?
No, it's doing it already in the process of fermentation. You eat food?
Right.
So you ingest, you digest, you absorb, you ferment, and you eliminate.
But if
you don't eliminate, what you got? Ongoing what?
Fermentation. Continuing in the colon, and it's absorbed through the colon into the body.
Okay.
What about thyroid?
Thyroid is iodine. must eat the seaweed at night.
I mentioned yesterday the tape, and we're going to have the tape playing again. I'm a prisoner of love. Again, I remind you that this tape is available. It took years and years for Adana to attract the right people and the right consciousness to have this tape developed. It's called, it's from the Fountain of Youth Tour, and it is for stabilizing, balancing the endocrine system at each center level, all the way up. So there again, if at times you feel something loosening up in the chest, something loosening up in the throat, the neck loosening up, or some tearing taking place, the tape is responsible in part for contributing to that, all right, by releasing on a cellular level many, many subconscious things. Okay, this is a little thing that Adano has had made up. It's called the Basic Five Stretching Routine, which is excellent in the morning and evening. He has them available. They're $3 each. Also available is a solar placemat. Now, this is essentially what you have on the second page of the information that he handed you yesterday, with those hues of light where these photosynthesis is laid out, but he has the exact colors that are predominant at that time of the day or night. Okay, and their reference with each organ. Okay, that is a really nice placement. This has so much information on just the colors in themselves. And on the back, he has the same thing, what foods, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay? So this is a nice thing here that's available, and it's $10. Someone, I think in Tennessee, does these up. And for the amount of time that they spend doing the coloring all of this, laminating, that's a real problem.
They live in California, but they're on the en route out to a research program for acupuncturists in China.
Oh, okay. Who is that, Melissa? All right, good.
You're saying each one's made by him?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Wolf is on.
Yeah, they're individually done. They're $10.
Yeah, she does all the artwork.
Yes, and also, Adano has brought with him some tofu, and the tofu that you are normally exposed to in the store, health store, Albertsons or Safeway or whatever, is different than this tofu that we have. Dr. Gupta, who is an Indian chemist, is from India, lives in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Adano makes a monthly trip there, or every 2 months or so, and picks up a lot of. He studied solar. They have a colonic machine there, too. And he gathered the principles from Adano's solar and applied them in putting together this tofu. And he has different kinds. They have the soy sage. It's called soy sage instead of sausage. And, you know, it's a combination of herbs put together. And they have the tofu fish. And we've got roast beef that we're going to try today. It's not actually meat, but it's soybean products, which, you know, he's used various herbs to give it certain flavors, and they're wonderful. It sells for 10, how much an ounce? 10 cents an ounce, which is a real bargain. So that's available, too, if you would like to take some of that and try it. The texture of the tofu is different, if you noticed yesterday. So without any further delay, my friend Adano.
Thank you. Well,
glad to see you folks again today,
because yesterday I thought was pretty new for most people and very intense. Today it will be more intense. But we're going to try to make it as easy as possible by reviewing yesterday to go into today's ideas.
Most people have the knowledge of, as I said, that eating is all just to get sick, then not to get sick. May think this is all I'm focusing on. The soul of nutrition is not focused on that. You remember I gave you 5 laws yesterday. And the 5th law was what? Living to eat in order to live not to eat. This is not a figment of imagination. This is an actual law in nature. We are now discovering it, and we have to discover the hard way through churches, religious organizations, to finally, when science looks at the physical reality of the mechanism and the non-decomposing organism, we may benefit or we may suffer from the lack of information. I'm not promising you immortality, but I'm promising you this, an ongoing longevity by understanding the physics of what you are and how to utilize it in the now time. The more we go into solid nutrition, and I did work years ago, but I took it off the shelf because people weren't ready for it. And so I broke it down into workshops to represent the 12 signs of the zodiac. And you can't function outside of it because your environment is celebrated for that. Most of us may think the church and all their labels to reject these ideas, and they can't get around the fact that 3 wise guys went to visit their founder. Did they follow a star that moves across the sky, or was it a magic that they couldn't identify? Now, how can a magic be a star and move across the sky and go stop right over a manger and let 3 wise men? And they're not poor men, they had to be kings. A king will walk away from his throne in those days, leaving somebody behind and expecting to come back safe. In those days, he may end up never having his throne. Because cousin Joe or uncle or aunt or somebody will take over the throne, you're out on your nose. Those men had to know what they were doing to come to pay that respect. So what I'm saying is, we're locked into laws of physics involving our ecology and environment that are now emerging. It's only because we're moving into the quantum leap of the next 13 years that man is calling the Aquarian Age. It is because how the Earth and the Sun lines up in reference to the cosmic zodiac. The action will take place first on the 5 senses, second on the intellect, and third on the intuition. In the Renaissance, if you have been familiar with the word Renaissance period, that was the first input of intellect in man. And the last 200 years, the breakthrough, what we call the first jump into the technical thinking. We are seeing an input of a transition from intellect to intuition. And that transition is called the extrasensory, which you see today on TV. A lot of the ideas pertaining to walk-ins, psychics, and so forth. That's the transition customer. In the year 2000, we're going to be seeing the fully intuitive man, which they call the Christ man in the olden days, walking totally integrated with his environment. We used to call that unified consciousness. Eastern man called it yogi. Modern man, they call it the intuitive man. In the Christian church, they call it the Christ man or born again man. But there's a big difference between the magic of it and the actual scientific working of it. The 5th law is based on the actual mechanics behind it. And that's what we're involved when we come out to nutrition, because it's in nutrition where all these laws are hidden.
Sounds funny.
The way to God is by your mouth.
So clean it up.
Cleanliness is next to godliness. I say cleanliness is godliness. So if you don't clean up your mouth, you end up rotting about your ground. Alright. We covered yesterday the ecology and how the food grows in reference to certain areas on the ground. And we are a human being who have to interact. Most of us just assume that an apple is on a tree. Most of us being exposed to an apple a day will keep the doctor away. None of us have been aware that an apple never used will also keep you healthy all the day. Does that sound kind of crazy?
Say that again.
An apple never used will keep you healthy all day.
Never used.
If you don't put food in,
mm-hmm.
you don't eat it at the wrong time.
Correct. You see? So if you eat the apples at the wrong time, you'll get just as sick as an apple a day will keep the doctor away. Because an apple a day keeping the doctor away would be what? Right time or wrong time?
Right time.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we're learning. Timing of the things we're putting into our bodies and how they grow. Before we move into the next phase of the solar two, I want you to ask questions pertaining to yesterday, because all the questions that you're going to ask are going to start emerging now on the clock. That's why when someone asks why we have to look at the clock all the time, it takes off. Person who flies a plane, what is he flying by? His instruments of his health that keeps him on track. We learn that very fast in the external application of our existence. When it comes to our bodies, it's not very obvious that timing regulation or is responsible for the whole process of the existence. But we can't get around it until we discover why we're sick and can't correct it. And when we can't correct the sickness, no matter how we try to use chemicals to move them backward and forward, and they're not correcting, we're missing out the one important ingredient, the timing. And so that's what we have to look in terms of our health. Timing. So do you have any questions you want to ask?
Yes. I think we're not answered. You were saying that 80% of each meal had to be high water. 80% had to be high water content. Does that mean of each meal or just of the total day's cycle?
The total day. But the thing is, 80% of the meal should be raw, and 20% of the meal should be cooked.
And raw would be your high water content.
High water.
Fruit and
raw vegetables. According to your layout of your environment, you have three options for this particular layout. In the morning, all your foods are in the raw state except cashew, right? Now, so your high water content is already established at the time you need it most, because when you went to bed, you shut down the organism. When you wake up, you should have had your bowel movement ready before you activate it with liquid type food to get the best ongoing pressurization for the other organs to work. Now, if you don't get that in the morning, then you get the gas reaction, the fermentation action. So you look back when you eat eggs or toast early in the morning, what happens around a couple hours? You notice the gas in the burp, right? But when you put in the actual fruit from the tree and the nuts from the tree, that reaction is not there. Then you have laid the actual mechanics of the timing to meet the pressure on time. Now, when you come to midday, you have the option now of cook and non-cook. You have the option of fiber or tissue, but that's a time frame in reference to a light function that intensifies the light further away from the object. So a tomato is closer to the carbon than an apple that is closer to that light. So the closer to the light, what you get? A quicker intensification within a shorter space of time, then this shuts off and doesn't utilize no more. So we don't know that until we have to work with it in horticulture and all type of plant function, that this fruit is smarter than we give it credit.
So the higher the fruit, the wiser you are to eat it.
Congratulations. That's why they call it nut heaven.
Well, okay, this brings up another question. The high water content. How do you look at juices, fruit juices?
In the morning.
I mean, in relation to eating their whole.
Yes.
They're just equally as good, even though they don't have as much fiber?
Mm-hmm.
They do have the liquid.
Wait a minute. You're getting your fiber
during the course of the day.
During the entire course of the day,
yeah.
You want out of that juice is the minerals to be in movement to the organ pattern. See, each one serves its purpose in different ways you serve it. Now, if you serve it in terms of cooking, you have water function. If you serve it in terms of liquefying it, it has another function. If you serve it in terms of just eating it right off the tree, it has different. Each one has its own function, providing you're utilizing it in its time cycle. The time cycle will take what? Priority over the presentation of the product. Still, the time cycle or the light cycle will take priority because you're still utilizing it in the cycle that it grew to absorb the minerals that are going to be released back into the body at that particular time. And that's why we go back to the clock. Your organs are not going to shift around to please you.
You gotta work
with him. I don't care. Your eyes ain't gonna go back over here. You know, imagine you're born here, closed down, and they're over in this corner. So then they'll say you're ET.
ET. But you still give priority to fresh fruit.
Right, exactly.
But yet, there's a place in the diet for the fruit juices in the morning. Orange juice. I still have questions about that. Is it orange juice is compatible not with at the same time frame as the other fruits, but in the same cycle as the other? For example, I don't like to eat early in the morning, but I love a glass of juice, and I love orange juice. Is it permissible within the natural context to first thing in the morning have orange juice, and then an hour later have my fruits and nuts? It's still in the morning. It's still in... Or is orange juice definitely a noontime?
I know what you said, but I can give you an answer. Yes, no, maybe.
Hmm.
See, until you're sick enough, you wouldn't know the three answers.
So you really...
You got to be sick enough to know the yes, the no, and the maybe. First, let's answer yes. Yes, orange juice is very good when you wake up. It gives you all your vitamin C. It makes you perky and fine. Vitamin C is totally useless if you don't have iron to absorb it. So now you got to know. But again, putting in a vitamin C in an orange juice in the morning on an empty stomach, the hydrochloric acid shuts down. And you get the burping around 10 o'clock. And it always tells you why you get a sour stomach. Because why? You inhibited the stomach that needs to function immediately to set the prime operation of the mechanism like your car. When you don't prime it right, or install there, and you turn and turn that engine on the key to ignition, and ain't going no place. You really get angry at them, but wanted to find out something is not clicking over on time. That is what you would have done to your hydrochloric acid in time. So actually, after a while, you start complaining that I've been following your diet, I've been drinking orange juice all the morning because I know it's good, and how come I said, if you really were following my diet, I would never teach you that. That you take orange juice first thing in the morning to inhibit the reaction of the hydrochloric acid.
How would apple juice do? Same thing, any juice. So it's best to start with the protein and the whole fruit.
Remember I said Dr. Arulli, after many years, and being a cancer patient himself, he finally realized that you cannot put in any food into the mechanism to function efficiently if you don't put protein in first. The hydrochloric acid is going to knock it out. Now let me give you a reason why. There's a very good, valid reason in it. Nature is set up internally from your mouth to the anus in what we call the pecking order of existence. You may not like it, but daddy comes before the baby. And daddy, mommy, big brother, big sister, right down to you. This pecking order is fair. It's very, very authoritative. In fact, that only 1% of the devil get wrong the pecking order. And that's a rare around the lunar time, but 99% of the time that pecking order is maintained inside there. So you can only learn by hurting yourself through the exposure to it, then you have to begin to reevaluate. It is not what went in that made the problem. It's when you put it in, and in the pecking order that you put it in, that created the problem. So we begin to reevaluate timing now. This is what they call the chromatic principle. The protein must go in first to set the hydrochloric acid. There is no food surviving or existing on the planet that is capable of setting the hydrochloric acid in terms of protein with nitrogen. Not even meat can take its place. We love meat, but it has to be raw for it to take the top priority of setting the hydrochloric acid tolerance for breaking down all the other foods. Because if protein doesn't go in right away in the morning when you wake up and the hydrochloric acid locks down, its potency is no longer going to come up for that whole 24 hours. It's going to stay locked down to what food you put in. So if you don't put the protein in, you don't have what is called a potency reading for a 24-hour time, then it'll pick up again. So it's like you lock the machine down and expecting it to run at a lower frequency. Now, or putting a gun on it. So the protein sets the frequency of the breakdown. The next is carbohydrate. Now, your mineral and vitamins are going to be interspersed with the protein food and with the carbohydrate food. But that is already taken into consideration in the one food that you put in to set the hydrochloric acid. So there is no food in nature that will surpass the one food that we have found. We can't find another one as yet to replace it. And it comes from a tree. And that's what's unique about it. It's a protein that doesn't have to be heated. It's a protein that has nitrogen already integrated in it. And yet it's a food that has all 12 basic minerals. So the wise men in Persian and those parts of the world simply labeled almond. If you really figure out in English, what does almond boils out the whole word? Is that a nice name for a nut? It don't make much sense looking at it from that standpoint. And then you get into the physics of it, what really it is. Then you see why. We don't have any food. And that's what we can do in class too. We're breaking down foods in their chemistry. But you got to understand what they're doing. Almond is protein. Now, we never became conscious it was necessary as a preventative for cancer. Centuries went by, nobody made a reference to that, until the man Casey came along. And he was the first person to diagnose in a bio-trans state, what we call the meditative state, and indicate that the body needed the almonds to insulate it against the modern disease that was emerging after the war, before the war, called cancer, due to the large consumption of meat and dairy products and being on the side. Yet Casey never said when to put in the almond. He knew the almond was there. A roller came along, he did the research, and he knew almond was protein. So between the two men, in their own time frame, one gave an ideal food for the day, and one gave an ideal input on the food. But when was left totally off is when I came along with my problem, and then I started researching, I realized they didn't know when to put it in. And that is because I tried all 3 days, periods of the day, morning, noon, and night. And then I found the reactions, and I checked with people, even the son of Casey, and he told me the same thing. The only time that the almond didn't bother him was in the morning. The rest of the time he had gas. He tried to avoid his daddy, but he couldn't. It's your daddy. So he'd eat it, and he would trick his daddy, he'd put one in his mouth, keep it in his mouth, and go hide it. And hide the rest till next morning when he get up and then eat the rest. I said, "Daddy, I took all my almonds out." I was like, "Okay, it's gone." But the father wouldn't bother him. But sometimes the father didn't believe it, so he'd make him sit and eat in front of him, and he'd all go and get paid. And this is how. But then we see that the protein has to go in first. So looking at the food being unique set up as a protein, unique set up as basic elements, almond comes down as the tolerance level of the hydrochloric acid. It becomes the number one food for maintaining efficient health.
So any other nut is lesser in quality than the almond?
In radiance and everything, and potency.
Another question then, you're saying eat only a small amount.
No. That's what we can deal with. One almond for every 10 pounds of body weight you want to weigh. You have to decide what you want to weigh, and the decision is made by the size of your heart to your skeleton. You can fool yourself a lot. Believing bigness is healthiness. But you know what is healthiness? Flexibility is healthiness. A big person has a tremendous amount of strength in one shot. But after several repetitions of a movement, they get tired. A flexible person will be there all day working. Why? Because they don't have the pressure building up or the letdown of the accumulated carbon dioxide that a big person would have to contend with when the stress level begins to increase. Because the big person starts perspiring and puffing. They don't know why. That is because of the retention condition of the liquid to the cholesterol and the carbon dioxide discharge to the oxygen. But a flexible person will work all day because they develop the rhythms of their movement. And that's what we find out that when martial art was brought to the West by a man called Bruce Lee, he showed that flexibility was greater than bulk. And now we know everyone who wants to be healthy, and that's why the Fit for Life and all these things are coming out. The ongoing nature is to be flexible. So longevity is your real motivation, to be flexible, endurance. So that's what we were looking at in terms of the use of the almonds. One for every 10 pounds of body weight you want to weigh. But to get to that understanding of what you want to weigh, you have to decide for your height. So my height is 5'6". So 130 is my functional weight. I can go an extra 5 pounds, but then I start puffing. I can drop down 5 pounds, then I'll start feeling slow, tired. So to stay functional and not get tired or overtax my mechanism,
I stay at the 120 pounds. But I have this deviation of 5 pounds up and 5 pounds down. You can push yourself 10 pounds up, and you can push yourself 10 pounds down by being stubborn. But what will take the beating is not your brain, it's the heart. That will let you down. So you'll have one or two things will happen. You either go hyper or hypo. You get too fast in your mechanism, you get too slow in your mechanism. Then everything starts letting you down. Okay. So the heart is to the size of the fist. And that's the pulsate in rhythm. So if you get your height and you know the weight that you want to function, where you don't feel stressed or tired or puffy, then you take one almond for every 10 pounds. So,
is the almond the only thing that you have to readjust? For example, a couple of us were saying that we had gained weight and we feel sluggish
from doing
because
that.
It's above what we have called our normal body weight. Not much, but some. So what all do you adjust
other than the almond? Pre-soak it?
No, we have not even begun the program.
You see, I have to expose myself to a lot of, not only me, but I work every day with people all over the country on weight programs, only to find out the critical thing is missing in all their program is that they themselves did not know the almond and they did not know how to eat the almond. When you do put them in the proper frame of reference, their weight starts to stabilize.
Only the almond, nothing else in
the food. So the other nuts cannot do it. They don't have the minerals. They're missing minerals.
What about the other foods, though, the other food categories? They're not in that either?
There is no food that has all 12 basic minerals that will fit as a protein
just
with nitrogen. Nature didn't intend them. Nature intended them to go in a pecking order. A nut is on a tree. The next is going to be on the ground in pecking order, and that's a grain. The next one is called alfalfa, father of all foods, on the ground. You ain't going to take no other food on the ground that's going to supersede alfalfa. But alfalfa cannot be on a tree. Nature ain't a joker. We're the biggest joker who fools ourselves, believing we're so smart when nature is throwing the data right in our face. We eat the food. But if you go back to the Persian knowledge, where all this data comes, where the Persians think they got it from, the Egyptians got it, where did Moses get it from? Taking it all the walls of Egypt on the pyramids. Who built those pyramids? We may praise the king for living the time. But where did he get the mathematical knowledge to put it together?
So in your case,
then, if you're up 5 pounds and you're feeling sluggish,
yeah.
How do you eat the almond? I know you eat it first thing in the morning.
I eat 13 almonds pre-soaked.
You pre-soak them to bring your body weight back to its normal. And it balances your body weight no matter what.
You soak more when I...
Yes. They're still warm.
What would have brought your body weight up? By not eating them pre-soaked? Or
yes. Yes.
Improper, if you combine your almonds with something, or if you combine some fuel...